Why does man get sorrowful? We get sorrowful when we depend on the Lord's lower nature. Bhagwan in the seventh chapter in the beginning, he said, I have two natures. My lower nature is this five elements, mind, intellect and ego, which all of us, the visible world that we can see, starting from the stars up to our body, up to our ant, up to this table, they're all made of this lower nature. And when we are dependent on the lower nature for our happiness, it could be anything. It could be an object, it could be a person, or it could be an idea. All of those, when we depend on that, then our BMI suffers, because all the time you cannot have the same object, you cannot have the same person, the same idea. You may be very successful, but then tomorrow somebody else will come who will be more successful, who will do better than you. You should say, humse achche kehne wale, humse achche sunne wale, bahut honge. We may think we are the best at this moment, if we can close the door fully. But then sooner or later, somebody will come. So permanent happiness cannot be got. So that's why Bhagavan says, hold on to my higher nature, Om, which is... So everything below Om is the Lord's lower nature, starting from vasanas up to OET. Om, the consciousness alone, is the... Is everybody familiar with this chart? Are you familiar? Yeah, everybody is, right? Okay. So the Lord says that Manushya Nam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yatati Siddha. He says, out of thousands of people, very few people approach me. And out of those, how many of those get to know my real nature, what I am really am, is a very few. But then he explains that I am the origin and the sustenance and the dissolution of this whole universe. Everything emerges from me, is sustained in me, and merges back into me. And I am the absolute nature. I am not visible. I am the unmanifest. That's why he says, Maniganam. Just as Sutre Maniganam, just as a thread is supporting the necklace but is not seen, same way the Lord, even though he's supporting he or she or that consciousness, is not visible to us. So he says, Arjuna says, Lord, I can't know you in your absolute nature. And so Bhagavan, out of compassion, gives us some examples where he can be found. So he says, I am the taste in the water. I am the light in the sun and the moon. I am the brilliance in the fire. I am the sweet smell in the earth. I am the seed of all human beings, everything, you know. So he tries to give us different examples. I am the intelligence in the intelligent. I am the brilliance in the brilliant, in the splendid. So in that way, he's trying to tell us that whatever you see that is smart, intelligent, that is brilliant, that is fragrant, everything, you know, the water you see, every whatever you see, try to see the Lord in all that. So after we take a shower and with the warm water, or if you use a bucket, but that water, that is Lord. So that's how we remember him constantly. So today he will give us one more example of where he can be found, Bhagavan says. And then after that, we have a very difficult shloka where he will tell us about his lower, higher nature. And he will say the world actually does not exist. The world is unreal. So I'll try my best to explain that, because it's... I think that's why there are less people. They knew this is going to be... They say, samajh nahi aayega. Actually, mujhe bhi nahi aata hai, but I'll try my best, you know, as much as I can explain it, because it's a very interesting. The more we think about it, actually, it makes a lot of sense. But in the beginning, we always resist. What do you mean? This table is not real. I can feel it. I am not real. This body is not real. So we'll try to prove that as best as we can. So let us,
It always bothers me that, okay, you know, Brahman is one, you know, there's one God, and yet how can you have this division in something that is...
That's what we'll be talking about. Even though God is one, how come we have so many different gods and so many different people and chair and all? That we'll try to cover that. Yes? No, it's a real question. If God is one, why are we so different from each other? Yeah, I'll try my best. That is my whole talk today, actually. The 11th one will be very quick, and then we'll spend the rest of the hour talking about the 12th verse. Because it's a googly, as they say, or it's a curveball. You know, you need to think. So let's do the 10th one, which is fairly simple. Balam balavatam asmi. Kamaraga vivarjitam. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu. Kamosmi bharatarshabha. Together, balam balavatam asmi. Kamaraga vivarjitam. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu. Kamosmi bharatarshabha. Some of the versions have balam balavatam chaham. Does anybody have that?
Yeah,
balam balavatam chaham. It means the same thing, I am. Yeah, so there are two different versions of that, this particular verse. So he says, balam balavatam asmi. I am the strength in the strong. People who are strong, I am the strength. Ya chaham, and I am the strength in the strong. What kind of strength? You know, not power that you can suppress somebody and hurt somebody. Not that power, not this nuclear power that can destroy, but the power which is kama raga vivarjitam. Kama means desire, raga means attachment. So vivarjitam means completely free. So you should have power, but it should be free of desire and attachment. That I am. Not the brute power where you suppress or hurt somebody, but the power that is without desire and without attachment. And then also I am kama, I am also desire. But what kind of desire? Dharma aviruddho. That means that is not opposed to dharma, not opposed to righteousness. In all beings, I am the desire in all beings that is not opposed to dharma, not opposed to right conduct. Because there can be desire which can take you in the wrong direction. I might want something and other person has it and I might steal it or I might take it dishonestly. So he said that, not that desire. Desire that is according to dharma, according to right conduct. O Bharatarshabha, O best among the Bharata family, I am these two. So let us see strength. He says that is without desire and attachment. Now, why does Bhagavan use two terms, desire and attachment? So Shankaracharya ji says that desire is for what I don't have. I don't have something and I want to get it. So I have desire. I want it. I want it. And then once I get it, I don't want anybody else to take it. I don't want to lose it. I want it to keep on growing. I want more. My stocks, I want them to keep going up. that is attachment. Jab Dow Jones niche gaya, so neend bhi chali gayi, no sleep after that. Jab se coronavirus. So the point is desire and attachment are what propels people to do anything. When I want to do something, I use my strength. I use all my power to get what I want. And then I want to hold on to it. I don't want anybody else to get it. And so what that does lead us to adharma. Sometimes it leads us to doing the wrong thing. But Bhagavan says that your duties, whatever you are doing, with your power and with your desires, you should do your duty, but in a spirit of karma yoga, where if I do things without desire and attachment, I do it without that, what will I get out of it or how will I benefit? I do it for the benefit of mankind, then I will benefit and everybody will benefit. So every action should be done not with what can I get out of it, but what can we get out of it? Not what I can get, but what I can give. That should be the motive. And when that happens, then automatically you get vairagya, you get detachment. Then the objects lose their hold on you, whatever it is. It could be money, it could be a person, it could be a possession, power. As long as the I and my are there, then you get bound. But if you say, whatever position I have been appointed, I do my best. Like I was reading where this judge gave to his own son, he gave him a life imprisonment because the son had committed murder. And he did it without any. And then soon as he pronounced judgment, he came down and embraced his son. Oh, I'm so sorry that you'll be. But, you know, that is called doing your duty without desire, without attachment. Whether it's my son or anybody's son, whatever is right, it should be done. And the main strength is mental. See, that's what Gandhiji said. If you have mental strength, that is more important than physical strength, because then you can withstand all kinds of problems without retaliation. So that is ahimsa, that no matter what provocation comes, I'll keep my... Not that you surrender and give up. You keep your strength, but it has to be mental strength, not physical strength. And as I said, desire should be with dharma. I should desire the right thing. And then when I try to get what I want, I should do in a dharmic fashion, in a right fashion, without doing wrong, illegal or immoral things. Even in the married life, even in a grahastha, desire is okay, but it has to be within dharma. The desire, whatever we do, it should be the right kind of desire. Because if the desire is wrong, then what happens? It leads to anger. And anger, then person, you know, loses all self-control and he does things that he shouldn't do. Like in India, nowadays we don't hear about it, but I remember when we were growing up in the forests of Kerala and all, they would have this musk elephant. This elephant would get mad for some reason, either something poked him or something got him angry. And then he would go around and break houses and break trees, and they would have a hard time, you know, kill people even. They would have a hard time suppressing him. So anger that is uncontrolled is like this mad elephant, because then this person doesn't think who I am hurting, how I am hurting. That's why they say anger should be controlled. Talking about strength reminds me of a beautiful story in Mahabharata when the Pandavas were wandering through the forest and the five brothers were with Kunti, with their mother, and they reached one village, and that night they asked a Brahmin family, you know, can we stay here for the night? Because then next morning they had to go to another place. So they had been going through the forest. So the Brahmin family said, yeah, of course, they were very nice. They welcomed them, fed them. And next morning, Kunti woke up and she heard them crying, both the parents crying loudly and uncontrollably. So she said, what happened? You know, these are our hosts, and what is wrong with them? How can I help them? So they said, you know what, our son is going to be sacrificed today. He'll be. She said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, there is this demon called Bakasur, and he lives outside this small town, and he used to come and he used to just kill the people, eat them up, destroy their home. So then the people, all the town elders got together and talked to him, and they said, what do you need? He said, I need one human being a week to eat, and I need enough food for 1 week. Then I'll be satisfied. So they said, okay, you stay outside the village, don't bother us. Every Sunday we will send one man or a woman, one person, and enough, a cart full of food, so that it will feed you for the whole week. Okay, so agreement. So they used to pick the lot, and whichever family's number came, they had to send that person. And they said, today our son's name has come and he's going, and they are crying and they are so sad. So she said, don't worry. It's okay. I'll send my son Bhim. They said, you'll send your son? You are our guest. We can't have that. He'll get killed. He said, no, don't worry about it. I'll send him. You just relax. So she tells Bhim, come on, Bhim, get ready. You know, you have to go. So Bhim said, oh, sure. Bhim was never not afraid of anything or anybody. So he takes the food and cart. He pulls it himself and goes. He sits down outside the village where the demon was supposed to come, and he starts eating the food. Half the food he finishes before that guy gets there. You know, he loved to eat. And so that guy comes and sees Bhim eating and his food gone. He said, who dared to do that? He said, I did. So then, of course, that person was mad and he started trying to hit Bhim, but Bhim was so strong, he destroyed the demon very quickly and finished him off and freed the village. So the point is that the strength was there, but he never used it unnecessarily, only when it was required. So that is what he says. So I am the strength that is used for a good cause and used in the right cause. And desire that is without a dharma, that is in line with dharma. So that is 11th verse where now Bhagavan has given us how you can see him in the world.